I'm Alex Chadwick. This is Day to Day. In a few minutes, the bones of the Haida Indians are finally returned to their homeland after spending a century in the collection of Chicago's Field Museum. But first, who knew that a fired Treasury Secretary could cause such a fuss? This week, we learned that President Bush's former Treasury Chief, Paul O'Neill, felt that his boss was like a, quote, blind man in a room full of deaf people. That comment comes in the new book, The Price of Loyalty, by former Wall Street Journal reporter Ron Suskind. And who better to interview Ron Suskind than our colleague, Slate editor Jacob Weisberg, who himself has just written a book with the former Clinton Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin. Here's Jacob's interview.
Ron, you've got a great story here, but isn't this an amazing act of disloyalty on Paul O'Neill's part to leave and to write a kiss-and-tell or give a kiss-and-tell story to you about an administration that's still in office?
I think loyalty, Jacob, is a loaded word for lots of Americans, lots of people. And I think there are lots of shadings, lots of nuances to the idea of loyalty. I think that what O'Neill and others have found in the White House is a pretty heavy dollop of what we might traditionally call blind loyalty, loyalty that is devoid of inquiry, that is separated from a kind of conditional quality as opposed to earned loyalty. And O'Neill is very much more in that other, generally more traditional category. And so he doesn't see it as disloyalty at all. He says quite emphatically in the book, if you're truly loyal to someone, you make sure you tell them the truth.
Yeah, you know, Ron, I was reading this book last night, and I was thinking, how could Paul O'Neill have been so naive? He went in wanting to make good policy and keep the deficit under control and so on, and then he was shocked to discover there was politics going on in the White House.
I don't think that's quite right. I mean, he basically said, whatever political judgments or strategic views I have as to politics, I pretty much need to table them so I can really focus hard and fast with as much weight as I can muster on policy, almost as a counterweight, because he was finding so little of the traditional rigorous policy analysis anywhere in the administration, certainly anywhere in the White House.
Ron, I think you know I wrote a book with a previous Treasury Secretary, Bob Rubin, and Rubin was famously skillful in working within the administration, working with the White House, in measuring his words. Watching Paul O'Neill from the very beginning, I thought, my God, this guy isn't very adept. He shoots his mouth off and says whatever he wants, and he's marginalized himself within the administration. Why, given his previous Washington experience, wasn't he a more skillful player?
There's a huge distinction between Rubin and O'Neill, and it's not necessarily so much in the nature of each man as in the White Houses they inhabited. Rubin inhabited a White House in which there was a ferocious, often chaotic free flow of search and find for best remedies or ideas. O'Neill arrives in a White House where he found almost none of that. And in some ways, you need to think of O'Neill in a kind of dialogue with this particular White House. And certainly, I think O'Neill probably would have had a much easier time in an administration, Republican or Democrat, that was of the tenor of the Clinton White House in terms of how they viewed policy and ideas and the rigors of getting to the right ideas.
The big revelation in your book is that George Bush wanted to go to war with Iraq from the first days of his presidency. But every other account I've seen said that, yes, Bush wanted to get Saddam, just as Clinton did, but he didn't decide to invade Iraq until September 11th. Are you sure you're right about that?
Absolutely. The difference that's material here is that Bush was actively engaged in figuring out how, not why, how ground forces could be used to overthrow Saddam Hussein from the very first weeks and months of this administration. And it is clear from folks in NSC meetings in January and February and March and April that that's what was priority one, overthrowing Saddam Hussein, how to do it. As O'Neill says and others, O'Neill is supported by many voices, clearly off the record, to say it was a matter of, this is what I want done, you figure out a way to do it, including the use of ground forces.
Ron Suskind, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
That interview by Slate editor Jacob Weisberg. He's co-author with Robert Rubin of In an Uncertain World, Tough Choices from Wall Street to Washington. Ron Susskind's book about Paul O'Neill is called The Price of Loyalty.